First of all, let's establish that there can be situations where disobedience to legitimate authority is justified. For instance, a child is bound to obey his parents, but if his parents order him to steal, not only is he released from the obligation to obey, but he has a duty to resist. The same if your boss orders you to steal from the company, or a military commander if he orders the slaughter of innocents. You might object, saying, "That can never happen concerning obedience to the Pope. If that's your position, then you are either a Protestant, an extreme Novus Ordo person, or a Sedevacantist." I've got a video in the works explaining why I believe the SSPX response to the crisis in the Church is the proper response over the Sedevacantist position. It will be coming out soon. I don't condemn people for taking that position. In my opinion, it is just the conclusion they've come to based on what's going on in the Church. I don't say anyone's going to hell for it, but I believe it is the wrong conclusion. The second premise we must establish is that a state of necessity warrants justified disobedience. The Code of Canon Law at least hints at this by not allowing penalties such as excommunication if such a state of necessity exists, or if the offending party believes it exists. In order to justify the consecration of bishops without Rome's approval, or even against Rome's disapproval, we must establish that there is a crisis in the Church creating a state of necessity that justifies disobedience to legitimate authority. I would argue that a state of necessity justifies disobedience to legitimate authority when the preservation of the authentic faith and the salvation of souls is at stake. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Stesvis and Someone. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, X, BitChute, Rumble, and Substack. Is there a crisis in the Church? And does such a state of necessity exist? If so, and the Society of St. Pius X is the only real remedy, then bishops are needed in order to ordain priests so that the society will continue. You might say, even if a state of necessity exists for the society, so what? Priestly societies and religious orders come and go, but the Catholic Church remains. But this is precisely where the deeper necessity emerges. The issue is not merely the survival of the SSPX as an institution. The issue is the preservation and transmission of the traditional faith in its fullness during a time when the faith is widely obscured, diluted, or neglected within the mainstream Church. When countless souls are no longer receiving the fullness of Catholic doctrine, liturgy, and moral teaching, souls are endangered. And since the salvation of souls is the highest law of the Church, extraordinary measures become justified in order to preserve the faith and safeguard souls, because ultimately it's obedience to God. Go therefore and teach all nations. This applies to the authentic Catholic faith only. Other faiths and religions, Christian or otherwise, have no rights. Now, someone will object, Christ promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the Church, so the faith cannot die, and the SSPX cannot be indispensable. This objection misses the point. The indefectibility of the Church is not in question. What is at stake is the unbroken transmission of the authentic faith and the valid sacramental rites that convey sanctifying grace. A thing can exist and yet fail to reach those who need it. The SSPX's role is not to replace the Church, but to preserve and transmit what the Church herself has always taught and celebrated until Rome recovers the will to do so herself. If you don't think there's a crisis in the Church, then you don't understand what the traditional Catholic faith is. And that's okay. Most people don't dig into this, but the mainstream Catholic Church is not teaching the authentic faith in its entirety. I want to be precise here. because the crisis operates on two levels. On some matters, the official documents still contain the right teaching, and the crisis is one of transmission and enforcement, what is actually being taught from pulpits in schools and modeled by bishops and priests, not always of formal heresy from Rome. But a faith that exists on paper and is never taught might as well not exist for the souls who never hear it. Faith comes from hearing, so says the Apostle Paul. But on other matters, the problem goes deeper than bad priests ignoring Rome. Some ideas did not come from dissenting theologians. They came from the Second Vatican Council and the papal documents that followed it. That is a different and more serious problem, and it is precisely why the solution cannot simply be better enforcement from Rome. Rome itself, on these points, has departed from what was always taught. The authentic Catholic faith does not teach that almost everyone goes to heaven and it doesn't really matter what church or religion you belong to. The authentic Catholic teaching says those outside of the Catholic Church cannot be saved. The authentic Catholic faith does not teach that priests cannot forgive sins and that we only confess to them because they represent the community. The authentic Catholic faith teaches that bishops and priests have real authority to forgive or retain sins. The authentic faith does not downplay the Virgin Mary so as not to offend Protestants. The authentic faith proudly proclaims her, and if heretics have a problem with that, it's too bad. The authentic faith doesn't say calling her co-redemptrix is inappropriate. The authentic faith proudly proclaims her unique role in the salvation of men. The authentic Catholic faith doesn't try to accommodate, bless, or find the good in sinful relationships. The authentic faith tells people these situations are sinful and can send them to hell. The authentic faith doesn't say silly things like, the church doesn't believe in indulgences anymore, or we don't even know if purgatory is real or if it is a place. But if it is real, couldn't it just happen in an instant? Or maybe it's approaching God, anything but that medieval torture chamber. The authentic faith listens to the mystics, the doctors of the church, and over 1,000 years of tradition that says purgatory is real, it's a place, and you don't want to go there, so take advantage of indulgences. The authentic faith doesn't downplay the sacraments as though they're not important. The authentic faith recognizes that they are vital for salvation and require valid holy orders. The authentic faith does not say that the church subsists in the Catholic Church while other churches and even other religions are also part of it. It does not say that Jews and Muslims worship the same God as us. The authentic Catholic faith says that the Roman Catholic Church alone is the church, to the exclusion of all others, and that Christ is God, something Jews and Muslims deny. The authentic Catholic faith doesn't seek endless dialogue with non-Catholics, focusing on what we have in common and the good in non-Catholic religions. The authentic Catholic faith seeks to convert all men to the true faith, lest they be damned. The authentic Catholic faith does not seek interreligious worship with non-Catholics. The authentic Catholic faith recognizes that the only true worship is the representation of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, though in an unbloody manner, in the Mass, which can only be achieved through the Catholic priesthood. It also holds that all other forms of worship are displeasing to God, and Catholics are forbidden to participate. The authentic Catholic faith doesn't say that all men have the right to profess and practice the religion of their choosing, and that secular governments should be neutral when it comes to religion. The authentic faith recognizes that all are called to be Catholic, that governments have a duty before God to promote and protect the Catholic religion above all others, and are in fact subject to the oversight of the Catholic Church. The authentic Catholic Church is not conciliar, and it is certainly not synodal. It is hierarchical, top-down, not bottom-up. If you're just going to Mass every Sunday expecting the mainstream church to teach you and your family, you've probably never heard some of this, or any of it, and what I just said probably shocked you. I was there. I spent 30 years in the Novus Ordo. If this were happening 15 years ago, I would have been condemning the SSPX too. But I started looking into what the authentic Catholic faith actually is and found that it is not what is being represented by the mainstream Catholic Church today, at least not in its entirety. The Society recently published a letter to Pope Leo explaining unapologetically the real and unchanging Catholic faith, the traditional Catholic faith. Read that letter. I'll put a link in the description. And by the way, the traditional Catholic faith is the true faith, and no one, including a pope or council, has the authority to replace it. However, it's not just the faith, meaning doctrines, that is at stake. It is the expression of that faith as well. I'm talking about the new Mass. It's not just that the new Mass is riddled with abuses. If we were to take the Novus Ordo Missae, turn the priest around so he's facing the altar and not the people, get rid of altar girls, lectors, extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, make everyone kneel and receive on the tongue, and eliminate holding hands during the Our Father, the sign of peace, guitar music, and all the ridiculous 60s hippie kumbaya nonsense, it would still be problematic. In fact, something close to what I just described was shown to around 200 bishops who all objected to it, leading to the Ottaviani intervention. Why? Because the new Mass obscures the sacrificial nature of the Mass, treating it like a community meal. It is valid when done properly, but it does not represent the fullness of the faith. The Latin Mass does. Here's something else, and this is important. This shows why it has to be the SSPX that preserves the faith, since Rome has chosen not to. In 1968, Pope Paul VI promulgated new rites of ordination of priests and consecration of bishops, despite his predecessor, Pope Pius XII, having definitively established the essential form of these rites for the Latin Church from tradition. And against the Council of Trent, Session 7, Canon 13, on the sacraments in general, which reads, "If anyone saith that the received and approved rites of the Catholic Church, wont to be used in the solemn administration of the sacraments, may be contempt, or without sin be admitted at pleasure by the ministers, or be changed by every pastor of the Church into other new ones, let him be anathema." The consecration of bishops in the new rite is a significant departure from the traditional rite. This matters because in order for a priest's ordination to be valid, it must come from a validly consecrated bishop. The Anglican and Episcopal churches changed their rites of ordination and consecration, and those rites are now invalid. So declared Pope Leo XIII. If a priest's ordination is invalid, he's not a priest. If a bishop's consecration is invalid, he's not a bishop. These men in the Anglican Communion who call themselves priests and bishops have no sacramental authority. When they perform Mass, nothing happens. When they absolve sins, the sins remain. Let that sink in. Those sins are not forgiven. Real Christianity is not about faith and feelings. Faith is certainly a part of it, but it's not all that's required. Real Christianity is sacramental, sanctifying grace. The grace that saves us comes to us through the sacraments, which require valid priests and bishops, baptism excepted. Many have noted that the changes Pope Paul VI made to the ordination rites bear a troubling resemblance to the changes made in the Anglican Church. The SSPX conducted an independent study of the new rites and determined that, like the new Mass, they are valid when performed properly. But like the new Mass, the new rites lend themselves to novelty and innovation in ways that are problematic, and that can, in practice, invalidate sacraments. Don't believe me? Hundreds of people had to be rebaptized and a priest reordained because a deacon decided to say, "we baptize" instead of "I baptize" in proper form. In many parishes in Kansas, masses were potentially invalid for decades because the wrong wine was used in proper matter. This is not my opinion. This is what the church herself says, and this is only what we know about. A sacrament is presumed valid until proven otherwise, but the new rites introduce a degree of openness and innovation that the strict rubrics of the traditional rites simply did not allow. The traditional rites, by their very precision, all but guarantee validity. The new rites do not offer the same assurance. Now, I raise a concern here about the new rites of ordination and consecration that goes beyond implementation. Some have argued the changes are substantial enough to call validity into question in principle, not merely in practice. The SSPX itself accepts the new rites as valid when performed correctly, as do I, but the concern is real enough to take seriously, and it points to why an unbroken traditional line matters so much. And consider this. A sacrament, in this case the conferring of holy orders, can be valid but not licit. Valid meaning the ordination or consecration occurred, and these men are now priests or bishops, but illicit or done illegally. Trust me, you're going to hear this when the consecrations happen in July. They will be said to be valid, meaning they are real bishops, but illicit, done without permission. But shouldn't the new rites of ordination and consecration be considered valid, at least potentially, but illicit since they go against Pius XII and the Council of Trent? In that case, How can it be illegal to preserve the traditional rites of ordination and consecration? Doesn't the preservation of the traditional rites, the legal rites of the Latin Church, according to Trent, constitute a state of necessity? The SSPX is the only group that can truly preserve the traditional rites. All other traditional Catholic groups, the indult mass communities, Ecclesia Dei groups, the FSSP, ICK, and others, depend on Novus Ordo rites of ordination to some degree. As well, they accept the new mass and the fullness of the Second Vatican Council. The Sede Vacantis line through Archbishop Took, while I accept it as valid, carries its own questions that others have raised. The only uncontested traditional line of consecration, valid beyond reasonable dispute, is the Lefebvre line. Some claim that Bishop Leinart, the man who ordained and consecrated Lefebvre, was secretly a Freemason, thus invalidating Lefebvre's holy orders. However, Father Chiqueta demonstrated conclusively that crypto-Freemasonry does not invalidate holy orders, pointing to open Freemasons during the French Revolution who received and conferred holy orders that the Church accepted as valid. The claim against Leinart is also historically dubious. So we come to the heart of the matter. Not only is the transmission of the authentic faith at stake, so is the preservation of the traditional rites themselves. The Lefebvre line alone can preserve those rites without question or controversy as to validity. Therefore, these consecrations are necessary. I firmly believe that the restoration of the Catholic Church will come through the SSPX, and that 100 years from now, 200 years from now, every priest, bishop, and even pope in the Catholic Church will draw their lineage to the apostles through Archbishop Lefebvre. Until my next video, God bless.